School is out for summer. While school is out, grades are in. Today's sermon needs to have honorable mention of one long-term school teacher recently honored to have completed 35 years in the Garland Independent School District and was presented a lovely pen to commemorate the great achievement, and achievement it certainly is. I was thinking about that. If feet could talk, what would they say? Today we honor Stephanie Moore, who is recently honored with this award of 35 years, achieving 35 years of teaching the little ones. And that does meet by teaching the little ones on your feet more often than not for 35 long years. And her diligent contribution to today's message even is appreciated. Take your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you would please. I'd like to start off with just a portion of this verse, and then I'm going to have a fairly lengthy introduction. You say, what's changed? So please just stay with me. Beginning of verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" What does the Lord thy God require of thee? Well, that's a good question. When I was a boy, the best and worst days were when you received your report card from the teacher. Now, in those days, you were given your report card by the teacher to the students. Each student was given the report card, and you were honor bound to take that report card home to your mama and daddy and face the music. If you've done well, parents would say, "That a boy, that's my boy," and all of those good things. And man, we like to hear that. If you did bad, well, that was another story entirely. And usually if I did bad at something, anything, Daddy would say, speaking to my mother, "He's your boy. He's your boy. You know, he's your son." It wasn't really all that bad, but you get the point. The parents were not so pleased as punch, and they don't want to take you out to get a single scoop of ice cream on a cone at the Dairy Queen store. The all-time American ice cream store is Dairy Queen, not Brahms. Long before Brahms ever showed up, Brahms is the new kid on the block. But just a single scoop, not a single scoop dipped in the chocolate. That would require a lot more work than just a good grade. That tells you kind of where I came from. Well, I trust all of our church kids receive their proper and their earned grades, be they homeschooled or public school, Christian schooled, or homeschool, public school, private school, whatever it may be. Further, I pray, if our kids earned a big fat D, that's what you got. Say, yeah. If you earned a big fat D, I pray that's exactly what you got. If you earned a beautiful B, then I pray that that's what you received, is a beautiful B. We had a funny teacher in high school. He always kind of waddled around like this. Maybe he had a hip replacement or something, I don't know. But he always waddled around like that as he's teaching stuff, talking. And sometimes after we take a quiz or something like that, the next day, you know, we're going to get our reports or our grades, and he's handing out all the papers. And It never failed that somebody would say, "Mr. Jackson, Mr. Jackson." He says, "What?" He says, "Did I get a B?" And he said, "You got a B. Be back. You're going to be back." In other words, you failed and you're going to have to come back and take this class all over again. Well, I hope at the end of the day you won't conclude that you're just going to be back for another go around of this thing. But he would always talk about being back. Well, everyone seems to be into the reveal parties and activities and all this day, these days, and well, grades are good, and they're good to reveal. And the reality of measurement, and how well our kids are doing with their education. Now, years ago, here in Texas, I served on a public school campus, what was referred to or called then, I don't know if it's still called that today, the campus improvement team. And they had two people from the community would come in and try to aid them and the academics and all of those with the push and all the school. And it came up. This idea, even in the first year, came up this idea of doing away with grades. and just creating a mush of a mess by either saying just satisfactory, non-satisfactory, or something else, you know, they just come up with and some liberal idea. But it was nipped in the bud, Andy. It was nipped in the bud, and I'm glad that it was. But that didn't stop at all. There has certainly been a push to get kids away from grades, and really I think it's more parents away from grades, and focus more on other things. And along with that comes other emphasis, of course, and now some graduating high school students can't read their birth certificate, much less their report cards. Come a long way, baby. My wife says, people don't think you smoke. No, not really. Just cigars. Now, I'm kidding. This movement isn't all bad, but it's mostly bad. It certainly is not good, for it removes competition. It incentivizes failure more often than success. It applauds laziness. It removes healthy incentives. It all but removes failure, which, by the way, failure still teaches. It teaches good lessons. And standards of grades, which reveal a lot in where you are and where you need to be. That's good. I always did want an A. I wanted an A on anything, but that was not always the case. I wish I could tell you that that was always the case, but that's not always the case. Now, Miss Dory, my wife, my girlfriend, she's always been so good at memorization. I mean, she can memorize anything and everything. Every fault I've ever done, she has it memorized, you know. She is so smart. My wife is so smart. How smart is she? You're good at this. She is so smart, she knows what I'm thinking before I do, which is very frustrating because I get in trouble for things I haven't even done yet. Some of you pick that up later. But all of her life, she's made excellent grades. Now me, on the other hand, well, sometimes. Well, that's just, let's just say in college, some graduate summa cum laude, which means the highest praise, and others graduate thank the laude. And I'm more familiar with the latter group. Now, some of the education field would like to see grades done away with entirely. And I know my boy, when he was a young, little bitty guy, you know, when he had to wear shorts all the way up here to make a fit playing ball, he would like that very much, because when he'd play ball, he told his mama one day, he said, "Mommy, it doesn't matter if we win or lose, we still get treats." Well, that's a change. That's a change. Because when I was a boy, when you won a ball game, you got to get a treat after the ball game. You got to go up to the concession stand, walk with your cleats across those gravel. We didn't have concrete in those days. If you were fortunate, if you had gravel and not mud. And we had gravel out in front of the concession stand. And the coach would buy us all, every one of the players, even if you sat the bench, pick splinters. You were on the team and you won. As a team, you won. And he would buy every one an ice, not ice cream cone, but a snow cone. Now, I liked the one that had all the different flavors all thrown in there together. That's the one I liked. Now, we only had cherry and grape, but I liked them all thrown in together nonetheless. And that was something special for us. Nowadays, you go over here to Bahama Bucks and you need a PhD just to read the menu. Well, that's what I like nonetheless. But however, we lost the ball game. There was no going to the concession stand unless you talked your mom and daddy into some bubble gum after the game or something. But what you got was the joy of running laps. You got punished. Running laps. And more often than not, that would mean outside of the baseball field, you know, outside of the fence. Because too many of those loafer guys, as he'd say, "Okay, y'all can run inside," they'd cut the corners. And in those days, if you cut the corners in front of God and everybody, you'd have the joy of running another lap on top of the one, and as everybody else is just standing there, you know, with calls and all, well, you know what I mean, ribbing everybody that got caught by the coach because they were cutting corners because they, you know, are trying to be lazy. But they were lessons in life, and that was a lesson of failure. And you learn a lot by lessons of failure. You know, some people's idea of equality is a slow death for everyone. The Fort Worth School District did not learn from the mistakes of the Houston School District. What happened to the Houston School District? They got spanked. They got spanked by the great state of Texas. That's what happened. Fort Worth, like Houston, wanted to do away with the grade system. And that we know of as A, B, C, D, F. What happened to E? I don't know, but you just got A, B, C, D, or F. Standard grades. But that idea got squashed like a bloated bug. But that doesn't mean they gave up, which they should have. And the same school system which attempted to do away with the grades just here recently, just a short time ago, got a royal spanking from the state of Texas. For guess what? Failing grades. Failing grades on their report card. So what happened? The superintendent and the whole bunch of those that have low expectations of the school board, they got tanked. They got fired. They got booted. They got relocated. They got replaced. Now they can show up and they can be elected, but it's an empty seat and it's an empty suit because nobody wants to follow those losers anymore. Amen. When I learned about that, I remembered a movie that I saw years ago, and Miss Dora helped me find it. Now, we had to buy it because it's not on anything that was available. We had to buy it, but I was willing to pay the price, count the cost. And that movie, I found out, was called Lean on Me. I see some nod heads. Lean on Me, where a principal was hired to shake things up in a failing school. I mean, it had really gone to pot. And I believe that was in New Jersey. High school had gone to pot. And he was hired to turn things around and bring discipline and honor and dignity back to the school. And that he did. And I understand it's based upon a true story. That's always even better. Now get this now. The same school system, Fort Worth, that wanted to do away with grades, got spanked for failing grades. I say, God bless Texas. And I believe God's on Texas' side in this matter. Matter of fact, I believe I can prove it. And I find great similarities in our domestic and spiritual lives and all of this, and that's my point today. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Now, in the King James Bible, if it starts with a T, thee, it means singular, you. You. Does it matter with the T? It means you. Now, we have become so hyped up on unconditional love, and I believe in unconditional love. But we've become so hyped up on unconditional love and grace and mercy of God, we have somehow lost sight that God expects some things from us. You know what I mean? Just whatever you want to do, it's okay. Just call yourself Christian. It's almost like people think, as long as you have some kind of emblem, you have, a cross around your neck, or you have a WWJD bracelet on, or you have a Christian t-shirt on, you can act like hell, but somehow you're still supposed to be a Christian. Well, I'm pretty sure your grandpappy would say that's a failing grade. That's a failing grade. Some people think, as long as I have the title, I can live any way that I want, and I'll get a passing grade no matter what. No matter what, from God, no matter what. So I'm going to get a great report card. And it's just going to say, satisfactory, you're cool, dude. Well, God sets the record straight here. In the book of Deuteronomy, I want you to see this in chapter 10. We find God wants his people to think a certain way. He wants them to act a certain way and be a certain way. And it all starts, guess what, with a heart. With a heart. The heart and head, God wants it. And so inspiration is called for by a wonderful God who inspires all to live on a higher plane. Now, experienced school teachers know full well that if they expect little from their students, they'll get it. They'll get it every time. But if you expect more and demand more, you'll get it out of many that you would have never gotten it out of if you didn't have high expectations. Now, recently a man who helped shape my young life, inspired my life really more than any other man in this world other than my own daddy, my father, inspired my life. He was my band teacher in junior high school. Mr. Lofton passed away here recently, and I learned about it even after the fact of the ceremonies and everything. But everyone called him Mr. Lofton. Mr. Lofton. Though his name was Stanley, his first name was Stanley. But never in my life have I heard any of his students or former students, now grown people, refer to Mr. Lofton as Stanley. Everybody, always, and I think for all eternity, will call him Mr. Lofton. Mr. Lofton. And frankly, it's because they respected him too much to call him anything else. Mr. Lofton. Now, I've asked Brother Daniel to put his picture up on the screen behind me. As I shared with you today, I've talked about this man down through the years, off and on. And I want to share with you a part of his obituary. And I really wish I could have been there. Got his picture up? Get his picture up there. Okay. I wish I could have been there for his memorial service. Had two separate memorial services, both down there within 10 miles of each other. And I wish I could have been there for that. I would have loved to have been there to put my vote in the ring for bringing honor to this man. Stanley Fred Lofton Sr. was born October 18th, 1934. You get that date? 1934. In Lake City, Florida, as the seventh of nine children of the late Henry and Beatrice Fleming Lofton, raised in a large and loving family, now listen, rooted in faith, hard work, and community. How about that? Faith, hard work, and community. He learned early the values that would guide his life, service to others, dedication to education, and an unwavering commitment to family. He married the love of his life, Marie Matthews Lofton, and together they raised a daughter and three sons, Cheryl Stanley II, Jonathan, and Malvin. His beloved wife, Marie Matthews Lofton, and their cherished son, Malvin, preceded him in death. Mr. Lofton received his education in the Columbia County school system. That's a little bit out towards the panhandle from the East Coast. And graduated in the Richardson High School class of 1956. That's when he graduated high school, 1956. Some of you can relate to this, 1956. During his school years, he developed a deep passion for music and became an active member of the school band, a passion that would shape the course of his life and career. His talent and dedication led him to perform in bands. His musical ability and academic distinction earned him a scholarship to attend the Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University, FAMU, in Tallahassee, Florida, which, by the way, for those who don't know, that's the capital of the state of Florida. While at FAMU, he performed with the renowned Marching 100, as well as the varsity ROTC and symphonic bands. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in music education and later a master's degree in administration and supervision from FAMU. Throughout his career, he expanded his teaching certificate to include social studies, mathematics, and get this now, this is interesting. I know why I did it. I'd like to have that confirmed, but I know why I did this. Driver's education. Now you may think, huh? He gives him access one-on-one with young souls. I know he's up to it. Because he taught us, he didn't teach band, I teach character. And he did. Stanley passionately supported FAMU, and in addition to mentoring, he annually provided financial support to band camp students and others in financial need. He held lifetime memberships and in the FAMU National Alumni Association and the Rattler Boosters, that's a sports club at the school. His career in education began in 1957. Now get these dates, they're part of the point. He began his education in 1957. A band director at Douglas Anderson High School in Jacksonville, Florida. 1957 is when he started teaching, all right? His passion for music education inspired countless students, including me, and helped cultivate strong band programs throughout his career. After serving in the United States Army, you like that one, where he played in the military bands, Stanley continued his work as band director of Wachala, Florida, and later at Peck High School in Fernandina Beach. Now, I didn't even know there was such a thing as Peck High School in Fernandina Beach. We didn't have a high school in our little town. We had to be bused over to the next town, and that was Fernandina Beach, and there was only then a Fernandina Beach High School. It'll make sense in a second. This Peck High School in Fernandina Beach was built in 1927. Was the cornerstone of then the African-American community in Fernandina Beach, Florida. before integration. Following school integration, he, Mr. Lofton, served as band director of Yulee Junior High School. That's where I met this man. Yulee Junior High School, before becoming assistant principal at Yulee Middle School in 1986. In 1991, he was appointed principal of Emma Love Hardy Elementary School, where he faithfully served until his retirement. As principal, he guided students, teachers, and families with wisdom, discipline, and compassion. He maintained his connections after his retirement as a member of the Peck Alumni Association and volunteered with Emma Love Hardy Elementary School, where he received the L.C. Harper Volunteer of the Year Award. His leadership helped shape the academic and personal development of hundreds of children, leaving a lasting legacy in Nassau County. That's the last county before you get to Georgia, by the way. It probably sounds like it, right? A man of deep faith, Mr. Lofton joined Bethel Baptist Church of Lake City, Florida, at an early age, where he faithfully served on the usher board and developed a lifelong love for Sunday school and biblical study. How about that? His spiritual foundation profoundly shaped his character and his values. Throughout the years, he remained devoted to church life as he lived and served in communities across the state of Florida. Later, he became a dedicated member of First Baptist Church of Yulee, where he served as superintendent of Sunday school, helping guide and inspire generations in their Christian walk. A supportive, wise, and principled mentor, he offered unwavering love and guidance to those around him. Known for his keen intellect, impeccable diction, and dignified presence, which you can even see right here. Dignified presence. He led quietly yet powerfully by example. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. The man in this picture behind me inspired me more than you could ever know to be who I am today by the grace of God. A wonderful, loving black school teacher in my life. Coming into the educational field not long after integration. Now, Mr. Lofton could have wallowed in the woes of segregation. He could have. He could have been one of those Al Sharpton types, the pimp of preachers. Probably shouldn't have said that, but there it is. He could have wallowed in the woes of segregation, but he never did. It would have been so unlike him if you just knew him. Never once in all the years that I've known him or heard of him, others coming up behind him, others before me, was any of that stuff ever even brought up. Not even brought up. He was determined to live by a higher standard. Where did he find that higher standard? I just read it to you a minute ago. It comes from the everlasting Word of God. This is the same man who came to my surprise birthday party, 40th birthday party. I went down there thinking it was for my mother, her surprise birthday party on January 31st. As it turned out, they had a surprise birthday for me on my 40th birthday down in Yulee, Florida. Who shows up after 25 years of my leaving his class? Who shows up? Mr. Lofton. And he shows up in a little town in northeast Florida that was known as a redneck town. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he played his flute, played a beautiful special, played several instruments. And he gave some words of encouragement that were very fitting and very encouraging. Later that evening, he called my mom and daddy's house, which was easy to remember in those days. We didn't dial the area code. It was all just dial the regular phone number. And when we first moved up there, all you had to do was the last four digits, and it was 5555. That's pretty easy to remember. She chose that phone number because she was a piano teacher. She wanted her kids to know how to call her on the phone. But their phone number was 225-5555. Or 225-5555, as my mother would say. 5555. Well, he called up that number. Don't call it up now. They gave it up. They gave up the landline finally. I tried to sell it for him, but they shortcut me, and I didn't get to sell it for him. I could have made some money on that for him, put it at the attorney's office. I tell you, some attorney would have bought that up. But he called up the house, and Mama says, "Steve, it's Mr. Lofton on the phone." I told you, Mr. Lofton, not Stanley. See, she's a peer. Mr. Lofton is on the phone, and he wants to talk to you. And he got me on the phone, and he says, "Steve, I want you to get all your children on the phone." Now, they only had one in the kitchen and one in the back bedroom. Mom and Daddy's by their bed. It was all landlines then, connected to wires. Okay? Get them all on the phone. Because he had forgot to mention some things in his speech at the church house for the surprise 40th birthday party. And he wanted to be sure, not only that I heard them, but more importantly, my children heard them. He was all about passing along, not only to his students, but to his students' families in the future. And all that they would ever do here. He was speaking about decisions that I had already made in my time with him in those years. 7th and 8th and 9th grade, we didn't go to high school until 10th grade. And we didn't even have a high school. Of course, we had to be bussed over to another town. And he's speaking about those decisions that inspired me to live a better life. Now, I didn't always do it, but he inspired me to that. He was my, if you go back to that movie I talked about, Lean on Me, he was my Mr. Clark. Now, he was quite a bit more dignified than that Mr. Clark, but he was very strong. And I tell you, what a man. What a man of God. He moved my life. Public school teacher. Moved my life. As far as I'm concerned, friends and neighbors, I'm here to tell you, he earned an A+ in my book. A+ in my book. Thank you, Brother Daniel, for that. Now back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 10. What does the Lord thy God require of thee? Now, I know I'm about almost out of time, but I'm going to go over a little bit, and I'll give you back a little bit tonight. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. All right? Don't already sleep or something? That deserved a little bit of an amen right there. All right, so let's get with it. Verse 12. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the earth of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, and with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, even as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Now, that's just another word for stubborn. By the way, just make a point in your theology, a Jewish boy, get him circumcised, did not save his soul. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods, capital G, God of little g gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not person, nor taketh rewards. In other words, you can't buy him off. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Let me share a few things with you. Number one, God is the creator, and he is the owner of all things visible and invisible. In other words, he's God and we are not. He alone made the seen out of the unseen. Something from absolutely nothing. How? By His spoken word, the power of His word. He alone is Savior. He alone is the Lord our God. Verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what the Lord thy God require of thee?" Now look at verse 14. "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. They belong to Him, and the earth also with all that therein is." Verse 17. "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." Verse 20. "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name." Kind of sounds like a good school teacher. Say, what is that in the Hebrew? Verse 21. "He is thy praise. He is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen." That great prophet Isaiah 45:5 says, "I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me." That's our God. Number two. "Thy God, your God, my God has requirements." And they are high requirements. They're not low requirements. You don't get an A for a D. If you get a D, you get a fat D. How about that? If you get a B, you get a B. If you get an A, you get an A from God. That's pretty special. But the point is, these are not suggestions. They're requirements. These Jewish men and women, they were saved just like you were. But God put on them some requirements. They were requirements of character and requirements of conduct. Sometimes, you know, teachers now give an award for good conduct in the class, you know. Well, shouldn't that be expected? I said, shouldn't that be expected? Now, if you want a good grade with God, you have to do the work. There's no such thing as not doing the work with God and getting a good grade. That ain't going to happen. Yeah, I failed English. The great gift of salvation by grace through faith should encourage us all to live to this higher standard. It shouldn't dampen that. It should inspire that in our life. And that's what it's meant to do. Peter, that great apostle, says in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As obedient children, now look at that, as obedient children, good kids, "not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," all aspects of your life. No compartmentalization of your Christian life. You're either Christian or you're not. About that, 7 days a week, not just push the little spiritual button on Sunday, coming up and up with Jesus. No, living a Christian life is a full-time occupation. "He which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy." Why? For I, God says, I am holy. If I'm going to be your God, you need to reflect my character, and that is holiness. I think if I could say it this way, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which both are God's." Number three. These higher standards and higher standards of God take us to a greater heights. Now, what are they? Well, we see them actually outlined here in this verse, in verse 12. First of all, a loving fear of God. A loving fear of God. "And now, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God?" Now, listen. We are not good. We are wretched souls. We are wretched souls, guilty of sin before the one and only holy and righteous God. And we are sinners. And sin deserves, now, it deserves death. It deserves separation from God, eternal damnation. For those who do not accept the grace of Almighty God, the salvation, the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid for on the cross of Calvary. You're not going to get a pass. You're going to be found guilty of your own sin and so punished. And that is absolutely just by God. Now this should cause those who have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and become children of God, it should cause those of us who are saved to tremble in His presence. Not just jump up, down, and wave some little Twitter thing. Listen to this. The Lord says, "And fear not them which kill the body, are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I'm not going there, but I know this. He is just to have sent me there. You see the difference? Fear ye him. What happened to the fear of God? For Christians today, they want most everything that's cool, but no fear of God in the equation. No, sir. No fear of God there. Secondly, we see an obedient walk in verse 12. "Now, Israel, what the Lord thy God required thee, but to fear thy God," fear the Lord thy God, "to walk in a few of his ways." Or maybe some of his ways. All of his ways. It's all of his ways. Now, you've heard me sing throughout the years this song by Johnny Flanagan, who actually wrote the song. I like the one also. He wrote, "Elvis was not the first one to make the jailhouse rock." I like that one too. You know, but he wrote this one, and this one's it's probably a little bit better. "Oh, your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. So when you walk and you talk, remember your walk talks the loudest." That's worth remembering, isn't it? Well, let's do it again. "Well, your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. So when you walk and you talk, remember your walk talks the loudest." What are we talking about? Your walk with the Lord. How you live your life. "Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll get an A anyway." Not with God you won't. I'm saying, based on this text, not with God you won't get an A. You won't get an A. Be sure how you walk. Isaiah 29, 13 through 15 says this, "Wherefore the Lord says, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" No, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Ezekiel, he had something to say about this. Listen to this, chapter 33, verse 21, for those taking notes. "And they come unto me as the people cometh, and they sit before me as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." That's what the problem with James. Faith without works is dead. "Not do them, for with their mouth they show much love." Yakety, 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 yak. "But their heart goeth after their" what? "Covetousness." What they want. Kind of hurts, don't it? Supposed to. Matthew 15, 7 through 9. The Lord said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me and teach for doctrines the commandments of men." Letter C. What does he require? An affectionate heart. An affectionate heart. Again, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what did the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him." If you look down at verse 16 of the same chapter, you see, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart." Deal with the heart matters. "And be no more stiff-necked." Don't be stubborn about this. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." Now there are many things in my life that I do. Why? Because I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I love Him. And I do these things because I love Him. I do this. Why? Because I love Him. And there are also some things I do not do. I don't do. And I don't do those things. Guess why? I love Him. Now, today we have kind of a pop Christianity that says, well, if you love Jesus, all you got to do is just say it, dress like it, and act cool on Sunday. Sorry, you're not going to get an A. You're just not going to get an A. Are you going to get back D? Probably that's the best you're going to get. But there's so many things in life we fail to do or not do because we are lacking a direct love for the Lord our God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of God constraineth us. The love of God keeps us from doing some things that we might otherwise do. The song, old song says, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Well, let's just turn that around a little bit. Do you love my Jesus? Do you really? Do you love my friend? Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. If you've been stubborn all your life, how about getting rid of that? You know, we can be so stubborn, and we can. Say amen. Everyone, say amen. We can all be so stubborn. Just like old Peter, the Lord asked the Apostle Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? What a question. Do you love me? And it's still a critical question then as well as now. Men, do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Ladies, do you love Jesus? I mean, do you really love Him? Our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's in the New Testament. I'm not fabricating anything here from the Old Testament. Do you love me? If you do love me, keep my words. Keep my commandments. Notice letter D, wholehearted service. Now, Israel, what did the Lord thy God require thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, you will notice that my outline comes from this verse. It's all right there in the text. And then, of course, it elaborates and goes deeper in it. Mr. Lofton told me one day, now listen, I'm 61 years old. So when I was in his class, that was at least 46 years ago. Are you listening? 46 years ago. Steve! He said, looking right at me, he said, Steve, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. This is what he said. I know you pick up on these things. And he's talking about music and playing instruments. And that's always, frankly, come a lot easier to me than many other things. But he says, you're cheating yourself. And he says, I know that you pick up on these things faster than most. So you don't push yourself to be all that you could be. He had me. He had me in his sights. Then he says, you know it, and I know it. Yeah, that's confrontation, isn't it? He's bruising my ego. You're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. Huh. Those words ring in my heart and in my head. He rang my bell. And he got my attention. Now, I always got an A in band. Why not? Came pretty easy. But I was still cheating myself. And if I had continued in that path, consistently in that path, I would end up cheating my wife, cheating my children, and even cheating this church, which I love and have given my life. Lord of heaven, it grieves me like it grieved him to see those that he loved and he wanted to minister to cheat themselves. Cheat themselves. Straight up, what level of dedication to service have you given to God from your heart? Straight up. What's your grade? F? D? C? No, I'm kind of average. And you want to brag about that? The average is the best of the good and the worst of the bad. A B or an A? Be sure to know this. There are no grading curves with God. None. If you deserve the blessings of a deed, that's all you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. The Lord knows our hearts and He knows our capabilities. Now here's an interesting thing. I will not be judged for your abilities or your capabilities. I'll be judged for my capabilities, my abilities. Many of you in this room, you far surpass me in just about any and all categories. That's not the point. God knows all about those things. And you're going to be graded. I pray that you're not here like Belshazzar heard from God through his prophet Daniel when he says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." You say, "I'm a big dog in my house." What house? What house? God's schoolhouse or your little house where you hide from God most of the time? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's grading time. Report card time. And I want all of God's children, all of them, all of you especially, but all of God's children to get an A. And by the way, the sentiment of God is not coming, leaning over the banners of heaven, "Come on, give me a D. Come on, you can do it. Give me a D." That's why you have so much additional pressure put on you and the people of God, Israel, to do well. Give me an A. Give me an A. He's a good parent. He's a good God. How about giving yourself an A? Don't cheat yourself. How about give your family A grade work? A grade work. Give your church, the Lord's church, A grade work. Give your friends A grade work. Give your community A grade work. Give your nation, this nation under God, A grade work. Give the nations of the world through our mission efforts A grade work. Most importantly, give your Lord, our Lord, my Lord, A grade work. Love Him with all of your heart. Love Him with all of your mind. Love Him with all of your soul, all your being. And when you take your final breath, may everyone be able to attend your funeral and say they put it all on the field of God. They left nothing out. They gave their all for the Lord. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.